What's going on?
We're Clippers.
Back. We're back. It was a sad day to miss a pod.
Took a day hiatus. Now they want to hate us, dude.
Finally coming out of the dark hole that is the break
dude,
after All-Star weekend.
Bro.
I've been missing basketball.
I've been lost. Usually at work, I just do Clippers stuff. And when there's no Clippers stuff going on, I have to work.
Who are we now?
I don't know. I'm a drone.
Well, in case you didn't know, we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're bringing you the freshest Clippers content 5 days a week, except for that one day we missed because of the All-Star break.
Yeah.
That's our bad. But we still got a heck of a show lined up for you today, guys. We are going to kick things off with a little bit of like a season outlook on where the Clippers are headed,
yeah.
What we're doing, what the landscape looks like in the Western Conference.
Yeah. It's rocking.
It's a bloodbath is what it is. And today is Thursday, which means our Thirsty Thursday segment where we talk about who and what we're thirsty for,
oh, yeah.
Pertaining to the Clippers, not just, you know, generally.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thirsty for, you know, ice cold beer right now, if you're asking me.
And we're going to wrap things up with kind of some general Clips talk. We might talk a little bit about Zion, just because, depending on how much time we have. So all that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so we're kind of looking at the rest of season outlook. Oh, here's the thing. I've noticed a big thing on NBA Twitter is people are tired of people calling after the All-Star break the second half of the season.
Oh, it's definitely not a half
there's
at all.
There's 23 games left for the Clippers.
Yeah.
So there's 23 games left. We are currently 32-27.
Pretty solid.
Very solid.
We're a game out of like the sixth place scuffle.
Yeah, that's a great term. Sixth place scuffle. Yeah, so we're a game out of the sixth place scuffle. We're three games out of eighth, which like that's not bad. Or no, excuse me, the Lakers are three games out of eighth. Sorry, I looked at my notes.
Yeah,
we're wrong side.
We're a game ahead of the Kings for eighth and a game behind the Spurs. So we're like right in the middle there.
Yeah. We have 23 games left.
Mm-hmm.
Nine of them are on the road, and we are weirdly one of only just four teams in the Western Conference who has a winning record on the road.
Oh, yeah. We've actually done pretty decently on the road.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised about that. The toughest road stretch coming up is a four-game trip, where we mostly because of travel, is we go Cavs, Knicks, Timberwolves, Bucks. We could win three out of the four of those.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking if the...
Cavs, Knicks, Timberwolves, Bucks.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I mean,
three out of four seems winnable. And I was thinking, like, if the Bucks, I'm not sure how they're going to operate. If they have the one seed locked up by then, if they would maybe sit some guys.
That's a good point. I guess I forget that you get kind of the freedom to do that in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, because like if you're Giannis and it's like, you know, it's towards the end of the season, you already have that first seed locked up. I'd imagine if you're the Bucks management, you're like, we, you know, maybe play like 8 minutes.
Yeah, you're fine maybe dropping a couple games.
Yeah, so I think we'll be good on that. And so Western Conference teams who are still competing for a playoff spot, correct me if I'm wrong or let me know if you have any other ideas. We got the Kings, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers, I'm saying, are borderline because they're three games out of eight.
Yeah.
And then the Wolves... who are four games out?
Seem closer?
No, that's another
you're,
like
oh,
borderline
you're talking like
one.
like more borderline ones. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
And then above us, there's the Blazers, Rockets, Jazz, and Spurs with just three games separating us from the four seed.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. That I expect those streaks to actually kind of I expect like the top four people to kind of broaden that to pull away from the rest of the group a little bit.
Yeah.
Obviously that could change.
If any one of those teams is going to fall, which do you think it is?
Of the top four?
Of the Blazers, Rockets, Jazz, Spurs. That's like in that fight. You know, there's a scuffle for sixth and the fight for fourth.
Yeah, the fight for fourth, I mean, the team that I actually think could regress the most, like has the most to lose is the Rockets.
Okay.
And Chris Paul, you know, I'm not saying anything original here, but it has not really looked the same since he's been back.
Yeah.
Obviously, that you know, the injury from last season has still hampered
him.
Yeah, definitely lingering. They do have Clint Capella back, I believe, this evening. So that'll be good. I just wonder if fatigue doesn't start to set in for Harden, who has, you know, he's been forced to carry like such a massive load.
Never a good term. That term is on its way out, I would say. That term is the moist of 2019.
He's carrying a lot of weight.
Yeah, and
the the Jazz, I just feel like they're so consistent, you kind of know what they're going to get. I would pretty much expect them to stay around the sixth seed. I don't really see them dropping. I don't necessarily see them rising that much, though, either.
They have, like, one of the easiest schedules remaining.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is... Okay. They have, like, I think the, like, second easiest schedule remaining.
Okay. All right. So, well, I could vibe with that. They're still not a home court advantage team, I don't think, in the West.
Yeah. Another point about the Rockets, they have 12 players rostered.
Yeah.
They're not, and they seemingly, there was a quote today, they don't have an interest in filling the roster out, which I'm like, dude, you know who's on your team.
Yeah.
You just lost two of your biggest contributors to an injury. Why would you not have a full 15 guys?
Yeah, I agree. That roster, I don't know, man. That roster is hampered.
There's like no argument to run a not full squad.
Yeah, especially just given like how far they've fallen off defensively.
Yeah.
I just would think that there's got to be somebody on the buyout market that, like, even if they're only playing, you know, 8 minutes a game.
Dude, even like Gortat.
Yeah, there's got to be someone who could help you out a little bit, right?
Yeah. I think the Spurs is another team that we can jump over. They're ahead of us right now.
Yeah, they're a game ahead of us.
In classic Spurs fashion, something I didn't realize until I really looked at the standings again.
Yeah, I could kind of see the Spurs and Rockets, though, also flip-flopping where they are right now, with the Spurs somehow pulling ahead.
Yeah.
And the Rockets maybe regressing a little bit.
Do we think we could get past the Blazers? Do you think we could maybe get over them? Or are you confident in their second, third, I should say, performance?
I think they're going to stick right around fourth place. They were third last year. You know,
it's gonna be fourth or fifth, I feel like.
Yeah,
it's not gonna be too crazy.
Definitely.
So for those remaining games, we have one game against the Blazers, Rockets, and Kings remaining. Mm-hmm. Two against the Jazz.
Okay.
Which is pretty interesting. And then zero against the Spurs. I think for me the biggest game right now today is the matchup with the Kings on the 1st of March.
I agree, man. And on this podcast, we always kind of fear the Kings.
Yeah. We're 3-0 against
them. Despite like kind of soundedly beating them, they're a team that I just think is dangerous on any given night.
Yeah, that's the scariest team. A high
in our spot.
Yeah, in our spot. Like a high tempo young team that if they catch the momentum,
bunch of bigs.
Bunch of
versatile bigs. Great backcourt.
Great bench.
Yeah, so I mean, like, in solid all the way through, and then obviously with the addition of Big Harry Barnes.
Big Harry Barnes, dude. That's a great nickname. Big Harry, dude. If your name's Harry and you don't go by Big Harry, you're doing something way wrong. And then depending on how the Lakers are playing, our third to last game is against them on the 5th.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm hoping that we actually have a little bit more padding, so this isn't going to be like a deciding game. But if it is, for who gets in the playoffs, that's going to be a barn burner.
Yeah. LeBron apparently has said he has activated his playoff mode, or flipped the playoff mode switch that he has.
All right, man.
Dude, is he
great? There's 14 other people on that roster. Where's their switch at?
Is this the corniest LeBron?
A little bit. I don't know. It's
getting a little like, I'm fine with it because it's not anything too different. But now I'm kind of like, okay, man, you're not on the Cavs anymore. Like, I've said this before on this podcast, the Lakers are possibly maybe the only team organization bigger than LeBron.
That's a very interesting point.
You know?
Yeah, like, for sure.
Saying stuff
there's
like this,
a heritage and a history there that's like, that's
not the Cavs.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, when you say stuff like this, it's kind of like, okay, man, like, this is great for Cleveland and stuff, but like, you should have maybe been in playoff mode when you guys were bad earlier.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's 14 other guys on this team.
Yeah.
They got to be good too. we have some friends who run a Lakers podcast called the Big Dog Lakers Pod. Great listen. Kevin Macias, Ryan Shoemaker, Alex Hanna. They had an interesting theory that LeBron is maybe freaking out because he's possibly mismanaging his third prime.
Hmm.
Which I thought was an interesting take. And I don't disagree with it.
I don't know that he's necessarily mismanaging.
Mm.
I think that it's been a thing for him sometimes to not say that he isn't in good shape, but I think that he comes into the season in good shape, like not off season shape.
Yeah.
But I think that he does come in with a pretty clear plan to get into better shape as the season goes on. And
kind of the Iguodala thing, but on a completely different level.
On a much different level. But I don't know. Brian Windhorst was talking about how this injury, and especially with him being at 180, he hasn't been able to get into his regular conditioning schedule, which he would normally do in addition to playing games.
Yeah, 280.
Did I say 180?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Very different.
Dude, I would stand for LeBron so hard if he weighed 180. I'd be like, see, skinny guys got him, bro.
No, 280. And so that, like, And given the injury, how many weeks is that? 6 weeks, about? So,
yeah, a bunch. More than he's ever missed.
Yeah, he hasn't been able to get into that shape. And I don't doubt that it'll come. But, man.
It's harder when you're older.
I know. And I've been saying all season that I hate this. That 1 year removed, we're like, no, man, LeBron is so old now. But
the dominoes fall quicker.
It's different the way that your body ages, for sure, from 30 to 34 versus 20 to 24.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I don't, that game on the 5th, I don't want LeBron to have to be in prove it mode.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be like, wow, if the Lakers win, they're in, and if they lose, they're out. And it's just like, oh, what? Like, I don't want to see Landry Shamet trying to guard LeBron in the post when LeBron's real mad. But yeah, I mean, I'm liking how I'm comfortable. I'm a little wary of the Kings mostly, but I would say 65% confidence that we'll make the playoffs.
Do you think that any of the other top seven have a chance of falling out of the playoffs altogether or no? Do you think that the only way for a playoff berth for any of these teams, being the Clippers, Kings, Lakers, and maybe the Timberwolves, is through the 8th seed?
Damn, that's a good question. I think maybe the Spurs.
I know the Spurs are the only one.
There's
where
just
it's
so
like,
many question marks.
Where it's like maybe, but even still, I don't know.
I don't
man.
Know. Yeah, maybe the Spurs.
I would be very surprised.
Like you said, I think the Jazz are too kind of fundamentally solid.
Yeah.
I don't think the Rockets.
The Rockets
are
aren't going falling to. Out of eighth. There's no way.
Maybe if the Blazers just hit some unbelievable skid, but they don't have like a crazy hard schedule, you know?
Yeah.
I think you're right, though. I think the only way in might be the 8th. Yeah. I think we can move. I
think
we can maybe move up and down.
Okay. So you would see us going 7 and maybe the Spurs or somebody falling to 8th, but still staying in
exactly.
the picture.
I think maybe that'll flip-flop, but I don't think anyone falls out. And if someone does fall out, it might be us.
I have to agree. I don't think anyone that's currently seeded 1 through 7 is falling out of the playoff picture.
Yeah, that
eighth all these teams are just too good.
Yeah.
The fourth like, bearing some sort of massive injury or something.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is, you know, wholly unpredictable.
Meteor,
but
asteroid, something like that.
I don't know.
It's going to be tough. I'm so goddamn happy basketball's back.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun to watch. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking some Thirsty Thursdays. But first, if you have a smart speaker, which everyone does at this point, I'm assuming, tell that dang smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers Podcast. You tell that dang thing to play it.
Do it.
It'll play it. Also, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It aggregates all of the Locked On NBA and NFL Network stuff right into one account, which is great for breaking news from local sources. Again, that is Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram.
So, Thirsty Thursday. Got a couple of parched hosts over here. I guess I'll kick things off with
Do
mine.
It, bro.
I'm thirsty for more Shamet in the starting lineup. I'm thirsty
Which we're
for
getting,
this
baby
for this positionless basketball that we're playing in
Dude,
the backcourt.
I love it.
I believe the quote from Doc was what. We'll continue to start alongside Shea and Patrick Beverley with Shamet at whatever position he is.
Love it. I love that Doc is somehow getting a little more loose as the season goes on.
He's great with the press.
He's fantastic with the media. Even when he's mad, you're always kind of like, okay, I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not. It's
and
never
he's like,
fun.
I think he's pretty funny.
Funny dude. Yeah, I thought you'd be excited about that because it's just, we're just getting 3-guard lineups, baby.
Yeah, I've been saying this all year long. it's all that I want. I mean, it's really what we've had all year long. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Avery
Once
Bradley.
Once Tobias was out of the lineup at any point, it was a 3-guard lineup.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, yeah, definitely. And anytime with Avery Bradley, like in that kind of thing, when Gallo was out, you know, it just wasn't really that great of a fit. He's not a small forward.
No.
He shouldn't probably even be defending those kind of guys. So.
Absolutely not. No, that's going to be sick. I think Shea's assist numbers are going to go up.
I would think so, yeah, for
we
sure.
We just have such a pure scorer at the three now.
Yeah.
I think his numbers are going to go up.
Do you think that this backcourt is a defensive liability given that there's two rookies in it?
No.
Okay. Why?
Firm no. Just because Patrick Beverley's there. I think he's going to be doing enough, like, kind of free safety directional wise, like yelling at them.
Yeah.
I think that's what keeps it. If this was Avery
Bradley. Oh, because he's running the defense as well. I see.
I love doing inner sports references. He's the center back of that. He's the one calling out directions.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one getting guys organized.
Okay.
I'm pro that. If this was Avery Bradley, I would be very concerned. But Beverly's a better leader. He's vocal in a good way. He likes Shea.
He's a vet. I mean, like, he's just a vet in every sense of the word.
Yeah. Are you concerned?
I am a little bit.
Okay.
And I like all these guys.
These guys?
These guys are my kind of guys, all right? I love this kind of lineup. My thing is if you just look at the scope of history, NBA history, rookie guards are maybe not the best defenders.
For sure.
There are some outliers for sure. But
ever heard of Gary Payton, bro? Just I can see the comments right now.
But I think as a whole, you know, they just don't have quite the experience. But I do think that is a positive in another light in that, you know, they can start to kind of get those fundamentals down. And, man, I am so excited if we end up making a playoff push to see what this team is going to look like in a playoff scenario.
That playoff defense is way different than regular season defense.
So different.
And I imagine that Patrick
and you get
Beverly,
chances to adjust. Like, you get chances to change things and kind of move on the fly.
And I think, so I would say that regular season Patrick Beverly has the mentality of postseason Patrick Beverly.
Oh, yeah.
And postseason Patrick Beverly has the mentality of championship round Patrick Beverly.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to even up his leadership and vocality more if we make the playoffs for those guys on defense.
And he's the perfect guy to kind of lead these young guys. He's absolutely, like you said, he's super vocal, but he's not like getting down on people.
It's constructive.
He's not making people doubt themselves.
He's not roasting you.
Yeah.
He maybe should.
I mean, he might be roasting you, but like that's, you know, but not on the court.
In a fun way.
Yeah.
I'm thirsty to keep our momentum going.
Definitely.
I think we could be a problem in the first round for pretty much anyone but the Warriors or the Thunder.
Oh, I think we could give the Thunder. I think we could snag a couple games from the Thunder.
I think we might be able to. The Thunder look damn, like,
they're really
when
good.
They're firing all cylinders. That defense is crazy.
Yeah.
But for anyone else, we can be a legitimate problem.
Definitely.
Like, I want to finish strong. I hope that road trip we talked about. I want to win 3 or 4 games out of there. I just, even if we don't end up making the playoffs, finishing the season strong, those last like 8 games or something, would be phenomenal.
Absolutely.
For these guys' confidence and stuff like that.
Just piggybacking off of that, this will be the first time, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, but this will be the first time that all of these post-trade deadline guys will have had time to like spend time together as a team and like actually get practices in.
Which is dope, because I think with the way this team vibe scouts,
yeah,
they've done a great job. I'm hoping there's another team dinner. Because so much turnover. There was one in the beginning of the season.
Definitely.
When Milos still wanted to play on the team. Where, like, everyone had a good time. Like, they went to dinner. They talked about single fatherhood. Like, they talked about a bunch of stuff. I hope maybe there's, like, a post-All-Star break bonding dinner.
Yeah.
Huh. We should say that for when we have press again.
Yeah. Maybe
ask Doc about it.
Maybe a group vacation, you know?
Dude, group vacay? Dude, man, just a school. Just go to K1 Speed Zone. They're just doing a bunch of car racing.
Oh yeah. Well, no, I don't want anyone to get injured.
That's a very good point. What else are you thirsty for?
I don't know. That about does it for like Clippers thirst. I'm just really excited. I'm just thirsty overall for basketball to start again.
Yes, we are going to be parched in the offseason. I'm thirsty for Gallo to be unleashed. No minutes restriction post the All-Star break.
Okay,
it was reported today. I'm super psyched for that.
Was he playing? It did not feel like he was playing on a minutes restriction before.
That's kind of what I thought, but I was like, well, I guess if it's gone, that's definitely not happening. Like, oh, I'm thirsty for there. So the Zion shoe thing.
Okay, yeah.
I'm thirsty for there to be a huge conspiracy about this.
Okay.
Like
Deflategate kind of.
I want Adidas or like New Balance to have had a plant in the Duke equipment room all year, just like sanding down Zion's shoe or something like that.
You think that he's worn the same shoe all year?
No, I think they've maybe been like making the shoes different every year. So he's kind of like, oh, man, this shoe feels weird today. I don't know. So he has to try and like adjust how he plays every single game. And then it culminated in it happening during the most watched basketball game of the year.
Interesting.
I'm thirsty for that.
What if, and here's a conspiracy for you.
Let's do it.
What if it came from Zion's team? And it's Love a little it. Bit of insurance fraud.
Yeah, he's going to fall to the 16th pick. Also, he just should have been worn foams or LeBron's.
For a man that large, I was surprising.
He needs to be like work boots.
He should be. I can loan him a pair of my Red Wings, and he can be out there.
Dude, Zion would look tough in foams too.
Yeah,
that'd be tight.
But yeah, I've always been a little bit surprised he doesn't wear a more supportive shoe. Maybe he likes the additional ankle mobility. I haven't gotten a chance to talk to him about it yet.
We'll get him on the horn. Can we get that intern to get Zion on the phone right now? That does it for Thursday. Coming up, just some more general Clips talk. So there was, I guess, some news about Luka Mbamute.
The news is that there's no news.
Yeah, Luka Mbamute and Wilson Chandler will not travel with the team to Memphis or Denver on this road trip.
That's a bummer.
That sucks. They're not even traveling. Wilson Chandler, I kind of give a pass.
Yeah.
I
guess I just thought that he was closer.
I did too. Well, because before the All-Star break, we went to the game. The day before the All-Star break, and Doc was optimistic that both of these guys would be at least practicing after the All-Star break.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mbamute has missed, so here was the quote, and Mbamute has missed all but four games this season with quote-unquote left knee soreness.
Uh-huh.
What has taken so long? Doc Rivers, I have no idea. I really don't. I know it's not anything he can do about it. He's done all the work that's been required by him, and that's all you can ask for. What the hell is going on with his knee?
I don't know.
How sore is that thing?
Yeah. Somebody brought up the interesting point that Caris LeVert's leg was like destroyed.
LOL WTF Eric, the Clippers meme king, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Great follow on Instagram. Give him a great follow on Twitter.
And Twitter. Caris LeVert has out rehabbed Luka Mbamute.
And Luka Mbamute's had knee soreness.
When we say soreness, I've been sore before. I've skied 10 days in a row, something like that. I've been sore before, but like, this whole year he's been out with a left knee soreness.
Yeah.
I feel like a broken record, but it's like, what do we have to ice it? Have they tried icing it? I want to know, have they tried alternating ice and heat? Like, do they know that, you know, icy hot's a thing?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're familiar.
Is someone getting fired on the Clippers medical staff for not being able to cure this soreness?
Oh, interesting.
Is there like repercussions? Can there be a discussion had with whoever's in charge of this?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I've always had somewhat of a wonder about the medical staff.
It's been good this year so far, I think.
It seems like it's getting better, but obviously when we had our big three, there was constantly injuries hampering people.
Yes.
And now maybe, you know, there were guys in like, you know, like Blake whose game do kind of contribute, I think, to having more, you're going to be more prone to injuries.
Yeah, DeAndre gets banged up, Chris Paul, yeah.
But, yeah, so I guess I've always wondered, like, if that's something that players feel super confident in. I've never heard of any Clippers player, like, doing the thing where they rehab.
It's not like the 76ers.
Yeah, where they rehab, like, with a different
doctor.
Yeah, with a different team doctor or something like that. So, I mean, I would say that bodes well for it. But, I mean, it's just something that I feel like is... there's no transparency in how that sort of thing works.
Good call.
So I have no idea. Like, if I was to rank the medical staffs of the 30 NBA teams, I have no idea where I would even start. But it's something I would honestly like to know more about. So if you guys are out there, if you're a doctor, maybe you're on the staff,
I think 90% of our listeners are doctors.
Oh, definitely.
Well, they're smart. They're smart enough to be doctors to listen to us. Because the other question I have about the Mbamute thing is like, did we always think he was going to be close and we just keep kind of getting, for lack of a better term, blue-balled with his thing? Because couldn't we just cut him if it wasn't, like, if he's not going to play? There's, 23 games left? How many games is he going to play in? He's already missing two.
Yeah. So that's a really good call.
At max, he's playing 21 games for us.
Yeah.
Well, plus the four that, whatever, like.
How old is he even?
I think he's 57 years old. I think he just turned 57. Because we could have cut him. We could have, like, I don't know. I just that's a spot.
It no, 100%. It's a spot. He is 32.
That's 57 in NBA years.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's up there. And
do we think? Oh, we kind of talked about this before we started recording. Do we think this is his last season in the NBA? He's. I mean, it's been brutal. It sucks to happen to him. He's a good player.
It kind of seems like the thing. If you guys remember Kobe, who played for another team that's from Southern California.
Kobe, is that the old Italian man?
I can't remember where.
The greatest Italian basketball player of all time. Kobe
but
Bryant.
He had like the thing where, you know, he had a knee injury and then like a shoulder thing and stuff just kind of started.
And his Achilles exploded.
Yeah, and he like things just kind of started to pile up. And I think that, I think, and you know, then he kind of knew that it was maybe time to think about calling it quits. And I think that that might be where Luke is at. We might see him try to play through another season, especially just given that he didn't get to contribute as much this season. But it just seems like he's at that stage in his career where maybe the body is saying,
just gotta
no
stop.
Thanks.
What's his contract?
It's just a 1 year.
Okay. It's like a friendly contract.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not like getting boned.
It was a one year deal that, you know, I thought was going to be really good. He's playing for the vet minimum, like 4.3.
Cool. That's fine. Everyone loved this. I was psyched he was going to be back. Like, he can contribute 3-D.
Yeah, and he looked,
he's,
you know,
big.
He looked good, pretty good on the Rockets before that injury happened. And then, yeah, like, that's what I mean. It's like he had that shoulder injury at the end of the regular season last year.
Which was
wasn't really able,
his fault.
Yeah, wasn't really able to contribute in the playoffs as much as, you know, I'm sure the Rockets would have expected. Yeah. And then, yeah, it's just, I don't know, man. It's really hard. But he might play one more season. I would kind of be surprised.
Yeah, he's not coming back to
not towards the end of his career.
Yeah, he's not coming back to the Clips.
I don't think so.
Unless we get him for another vet minimum.
Yeah.
Which I guess I'd be fine with. But it's just, I would say it's the most confounding storyline of the team so far.
Definitely.
Although that also maybe why Rex Kolomanian made so many changes to the defense when we were 16-8 or whatever it was.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You got anything else Clippers talk you want to talk about?
Oh,
we're credentialed for a couple more games coming up.
Oh yeah,
we're gonna have a bunch of locker room content for you guys.
Definitely.
Asking Doc some questions. Hopefully, not getting roasted.
I mean, I'm super excited for the Grizzlies game tomorrow.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time.
Yeah. Can't believe we gotta go. We gotta play the Nuggets again. So it seems so early.
I'll tell you one thing I'm excited for. On Sunday, we got the Clips game at what, 2? And then the frickin' Academy Awards. What a Sunday evening.
Oh yeah. Gonna be a full LA day.
Where I'm gonna be drinking Modelo's, and then when the Academy Awards come on, just taking champagne flutes to the face. guys, that about wraps it up for Locked On Clippers. We are coming at you Monday through Friday. Please give us a review on iTunes. Please subscribe. Give us a shout out. We really appreciate it. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in.